Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast, your top resource for all things health, nutrition, and fitness. My name's Amanda Rocchio, best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my husband, Chris Rocchio.
Hello, everyone. And real quick, let me read a review from one of our listeners. This one's titled Incredible Information by Katie with like five E's, Bart. I'm just a few episodes in, and I'm absolutely blown away by the knowledge that both of you are able to convey in such an easy to understand and applicable way. You are making my life healthier by the listen, and I am forever grateful.
Thanks, Katie. That was such a sweet review. Honestly, we're forever grateful for that review. And if you guys take a moment, pause the podcast, and leave us a review, it means so much to Chris and I.
Absolutely.
Getting into today's episode, I'm super excited about this one, actually. I think an episode all on habits would be so beneficial to all of you, and of course, even to myself, to go through some of these habit-forming principles, because habits are really what make or break us when it comes to our overall health. Now, this can be a double-edged sword because you might already have some great habits from growing up, but of course, we usually have some bad habits or just some habits we would like to change. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What about you, Chris? You got some bad habits?
I don't want to talk about it.
I actually love the quote by Anthony Robbins. It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives. It's what we do consistently, which is also a great quote because, you know, whenever you go to a party or want to relax a little bit, have that occasional pizza. We actually got the dough room the other day from Culver City. It's so delicious. But knowing that when you give yourself a break, when you enjoy some birthday cake at your best friend's party, you know, it's not a big deal because it's not what you do every now and then, once a month, you know, once every 2 weeks, but it's really what you do every day that adds up to reaching your goals and feeling your overall best.
Right. I agree.
That's why we decided to put together today's podcast, because when you're trying to change your habits for your overall health or change habits related to another area of your life, the ability to make new habits stick is really what will set you apart and what will change your life. If I'm being completely honest about this, I'm actually pretty good at creating and keeping new habits, especially if I'm more motivated. I'm already a motivated, disciplined person, so I'm going to be straight up. This is one area that works out well for me, but there are some things that I do and certain habits that are harder for me, like my dental routine that I'll talk about later, where I have to follow some of these principles because there's ones that come easier for me and there are ones that come harder for me, and I'm sure you'll find that too.
Yeah, I would have to concur. Amanda is definitely one of the best people I've ever seen in terms of implementing new habits, new lifestyle changes and things like that. For me, it's less so. I mean, I'm pretty good at it. I have my own methods, but it's a little bit slower because I'm older and there are things that are more deeply ingrained, you know, things that I identify with that are part of what I think are my personhood. So like, for instance, I used to be in the party scene a lot. And so I was, you know, I like to be seen as a fun person and somebody who always liked to be down for whatever and never say no and things like that. But saying no is one of the most powerful things you can do if you're trying to make a change.
Yeah.
Right. So what you have to do is identify with the new habit that you want to form. Right. So before my identity was tied to being fun, but now I want it to be, you know, healthy and productive and things like that, right? All around positivity. And that party mindset just does not coincide with that. So they're in conflict at that point. So you just have to kind of switch your focus, switch your priorities. You probably have already switched the priorities. You just need to have the lifestyle change, the habits to follow through. So it's all about a different shift and maybe identify with the new thing. And you can kind of see them as not mutually exclusive. You know, obviously, like I said, the party mindset and the healthy mindset are mutually exclusive. But maybe what you identify as isn't so much of a polar opposite sort of thing, and they can work well together. So it's all about kind of just shifting that.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great tip that's actually talked about in the book Atomic Habits, about shifting your identity towards the lifestyle and habits you want to create. So if you always view yourself as a sedentary person, now all of a sudden you should say, you know, start viewing yourself as this active person before you're maybe even there yet. Obviously, you start the habit so you can kind of see that the habit supports where you identify, and using things like affirmations and visualizing yourself to help move the needle forward and truly start to help yourself believe you are that person while supporting it with certain habits. And that's what we're going to get into today, is certain strategies and tactics for making these habits stick.
Yeah, we actually just gave you a nice little freebie right off the bat there, because we have a list of things and that's not even on our list. So we're just, the things are just flying out of our mouths without our control. So we're going to get right into these 8 tactics and strategies for making habits stick. And going right into the first one, it's find out what triggers you. And there are some MIT researchers that have pinpointed a neurological loop at the core of every habit formed. And different people have taken this and ran with it in different methodologies. They all write different books, you know, and so they find the 3-step process or a 4-step process in this loop. But all of them kind of are summed up by Charles Duhigg's loop that he identifies as the habit loop. And he identifies this loop as cue, routine, reward. And that's in his book, The Power of Habit. And it's very interesting stuff. But he says, quote, when a cue and a behavior and a reward become neurologically intertwined, what's actually happening is a neural pathway is developing that links those 3 things together in our head. In this loop, he breaks down, I'm going to break down the 3 elements. So the cue is your reminder or trigger. And this could be a particular time of day. You know, you can set an alarm so you can create prompts for these things. Or there could be just certain natural triggers in the day that come about, you know, say your lunch break or something like that, right, from work. Whatever it is, it could be, like I said, time of day, it could be a certain location. Like as soon as you enter this location, that's your trigger to start this new activity, this new habit, right?
And I find things like calendar reminders, post-it notes, or even, you know, if something I want to do a couple, you know, routines at once, I'll print out a checklist. I like to make it like colorful and cute. Mm-hmm. So a few of those things work well for me. I know Chris, he taped a list of supplements that he wants to take every day inside the supplement cabinet. So he opens that up and he sees that list. So things like that where it's in your face. I did hear a little reminder on this is if you do too many of them, that it's not going to work. So if you have a bunch of post-it notes for a bunch of things, after a while it becomes, you know, like chatter, like, okay, there's post-it notes everywhere. I'm not taking it seriously. So you do have to kind of use it for certain things. You can't do it for everything per se.
That's actually a good point because I created one for posture every hour of the day. Every hour I just get a prompt that reminds me to sit up straight, put my shoulders back, kind of correct whatever slouching is going on. And it's kind of funny is that after a while I became numb to it and I stopped listening to
it. Oh, because it was too often. Yeah, right. Maybe like twice a day. Yeah, you should probably switch it to that.
Or maybe actually, you know, the little side tangent or whatever, but posture is much more created by doing a certain routine. I'm sorry, corrected by doing a certain routine.
Oh, I see.
In the morning by like strengthening certain muscles and stretching other muscles. And it's a lot about different muscle imbalances and things like that, tightness in certain muscles. And so going through a morning routine would be much more productive than doing, like I said, one prompt every hour for 16 hours straight.
That you eventually ignore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but creating prompts is, especially when you're starting a new habit, right? I've transferred over to a different method for tackling that problem. And maybe that's part of the evolution of this whole process, is finding what works and what doesn't work. But
absolutely,
right off the bat, the first things first is definitely try the alarms. Those are really good. Another thing is a certain person or a group. And the next one is routine. So that's doing the particular action when triggered by any one of these cues. Simple enough. And number 3 is the reward. And first, it may be the intrinsic reward, you know, that follows the new regimen that puts you on a specific path. So like the intrinsic reward being just the internal reward that you have in your own head, like, oh, wow, I feel good for doing this. And it's putting me on this new path. And then those rewards can turn extrinsic when you start reaping the noticeable benefits. So there'll be kind of be like an evolution there with your reward system. And these rewards, whatever they are, also reinforce the behavior, increase the likelihood of repetitive behavior in the future.
Nice. Pretty simple. But I think that's a good reminder on the cues too, that maybe if the cue's not working for you, or, you know, the way you have the habit set up, to maybe switch it up and try something new.
Mm-hmm.
So next on our list, and I thought this was a great one, is to view your goal as an obligation rather than a desire. I think this is great. Like, it's a necessity. I need to do this. I really have to make this habit a part of my routine, or I'm going to be in trouble, or I'm going to have this negative side effect. And so to explain this a little bit further, sometimes we're actually more motivated by the negative repercussions of not doing something than we are by the positive benefits of doing this, which is really interesting because usually I'm a positive person, but I actually find this works well for me too. And again, there are outliers in this, so this may not apply to every single person, but this is going to apply to a majority of people.
Yeah, and most of these points are actually backed up by several studies. So this is, we're not just pulling these things, you know,
we're just making
from the ether. Yeah.
So what the technical term for this is called promotional goals versus prevention goals. So a promotional goal is one where you hope to achieve and you'll get a positive benefit, while prevention goals are ones that we are afraid not to achieve. So when you look at a goal and frame it in a promotional manner or prevention manner, the prevention manner, like I said, seems to be the most effective. Now, I want to give you an example of this. So it would be like saying, I want to achieve my goal because otherwise I won't blank. So for me personally, right now I'm working on my dental routine. I have gum issues. It's been a thing. So for me, I will tell myself that if I don't follow through on my dental routine, then I will continue to have gum issues and I'll continue to have to see my dentist and work through some of these issues, which will create pain, all of the negative things that come with that. You know, my gums won't look so good. So this is really motivating me to stick to my routine. I did also print out a sheet for this, a check sheet, because I just am not consistently doing everything I need to do. And I do have more sensitive teeth and gums. So that's the prevention way of framing my goal with X habit. And then again, I'm using the cue of the checklist right next to my sink. So it's right next to where I have to do the behavior. So pretty easy, and everything's set up to really support that. And so that's why we suggest thinking about that a little bit further. Like, for example, you want to be more active and you have children. So if you tell yourself, you know what, if I don't exercise every single day or, you know, 6 days a week, then I won't have the energy to hang out with my kids. I won't have the longevity to be around for my kids for a long time. So things like that can really help motivate you.
Yeah. And I feel like there's some deep evolutionary reason for this, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because even if you do something good, it doesn't always mean that something good is going to follow in return, because we have this kind of situation in society in general or everyday life where it's not like every good deed is reciprocated. So we're not always rewarded, but it's also not the case that every bad decision is punished.
Right.
But we also will focus more on the negative. So for instance, you know, with our psychological framework that we do, like for instance, we'll remember a bad experience at a restaurant or something like that. Like, you know, the whole idea with Yelp reviews.
Yes.
How like you're much more likely to leave a bad review than you are a good one. So those bad situations stick in your mind a lot longer than the good ones.
Yes.
And so that's probably why you're more tuned into preventing that or keeping it from happening again.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure that's called a negativity bias. And I think that's a good reminder.
Right. All right. So moving on. Number three, work on one habit at a time. And this seems kind of intuitive, right? Because we don't want to overwhelm ourselves. But some of us, when we try to make these changes and we're gung-ho about it, we have a lot of enthusiasm and we think that we can do it all at once. And we try to do too much at once. And they kind of just cancel each other out because it's just too much of a,
yep,
of a crazy, like shaking the box type of situation. But studies show that you're far more likely to fail when you're trying to form multiple new habits rather than just one. So instead, just try prioritizing and doing them incrementally. And I see a lot of this with clients when it's about trying to change too many dietary habits, trying to incorporate new foods and then blocking out too many old ones, right? We always try to advise, like, just take out a few different things at a time or swap out a few things at a time and make it part of your routine. And don't try to just do this complete overhaul, because that's not setting yourself up for success.
Absolutely. And you could do something like focusing on a new habit a month. Again, it's going to depend on the person, how long it takes for the habit to stick. There's no really golden number, like the 21 days rule isn't necessarily proven by any means.
It should be longer.
It shouldn't usually be longer, is what they say. So some say even like 60 days. But you know, you could start a new habit, and then once you feel like you're in the flow 30, 60 days later, then add in the next one and just, you know, find the right balance for you.
Right. It's not going to be exactly the same for everybody. Kind of just depends on your level of enthusiasm, how primed you are for that new behavior altogether. It's just so many different factors.
So next on our list is this thing called habit stacking. And I thought this was a really interesting concept when I first heard it. I don't think I really do it too much. I'm more of like creating new prompts than necessarily habit stacking. Although I guess maybe I did this, some of this naturally. But this is like stacking a new habit on top of an already formed habit. So which is great, because you can be using any of your preformed habits to anchor this new habit. So for example, you could use brewing coffee or making tea in the morning, and you want to start a gratitude practice. Well, while that coffee and tea is brewing, which you've already been doing for a really long time, you know, write down three things you're grateful for while you're waiting for your coffee or tea to brew. And that would be habit stacking on top of that already formed habit. Now, I know from this book by BJ Fogg on habits, he actually did this thing where every time he went to the bathroom, he'd do some push-ups. So we ended up doing a lot of push-ups in the day, but it said it really worked for him. As you can see, that's kind of a random combination. So you can use any random combination. Obviously, you want to make sure the frequency is the amount you want to be doing the habit. Like if you don't want to be doing push-ups all day, then that might not be a good idea, but you could start your day. All right, right after I brush my teeth, I'm going to do 10 push-ups, 10 squats, you know, 10 crunches, and that's how I'm going to start my day every day. So that's just a few examples. I don't know, Chris, if you've ever used habit stacking before, but I find that really interesting and a cool way to set up a new routine.
Yeah, with me, my new habits are all about changing my nighttime routine because that's where I need the most improvement. So my new thing is trying to stack meditation on top of my reading when I shut down the phone for the night. So that's my new thing. I've been trying to talk about meditation. Amanda's been busting my balls on previous podcasts about meditation and me not being able to do it. I have a very inefficient meditating practice right now, or inconsistent, I should say. And I'm trying to make that more of a daily thing, or at least 4 times a week kind of thing. And that's my hardest thing to try to implement. So I'm trying to stack that at the end of the day. So it could be a morning thing, could be a middle of the day thing, could be a nighttime thing, whatever you think is going to be the best. So whatever your strongest habit is right now, try to attach your weak, newly formed, desired habit and attach it to that. And that will probably bolster it a little bit. All right, so moving on. Number 5, don't confuse your habit with a goal. And this one's a little bit ambiguous because it's very easy to confuse the two and to conflate what the two concepts are. But you have to think of it like this. Most habits are in and of themselves a part of a system you've developed to achieve a certain goal, right? So one's a cause or a method or a system. So you have to separate that as one is the method and the other is the desired end of that goal, right? And so it's best not to mix them up, and more importantly, not to mix up the reward systems. So if you successfully perform your habitual task, consider that a win in and of itself. It's not the goal, right? You haven't achieved it yet, and don't judge yourself based on not achieving it. And there's actually a really good book that talks about creating winning systems that are more important than goals. And that's How to Fail at Everything and Still Win Big by Scott Adams.
Oh, I didn't know that was the title. That's a great title.
Yeah, he basically goes through all of his lifetime failures, but having a specific system in place is what allowed him to kind of just deal with those failures and move on to the next venture. So his take is that the system is actually more important than the goal.
Right.
Because your goals are going to shift. You're always going to, once you reach that goal, you're going to move the bar higher, right? And you're going to try to achieve another goal and then another. So why not have a system in place for reaching all of these things as opposed to getting to the end goal, the end result, and then being like, okay, what now?
Right. Absolutely. And that really goes back to habits over goals.
Right.
So tied into some of the things Chris was referring to and next on our list is to reward yourself. Now, this doesn't have to mean in literal physical sense. It doesn't mean you have to take yourself out for ice cream or buy yourself something. Again, which also might not be a bad idea, but in this specific area, we're actually talking about things you can do like checking it off of your to-do list. What's really interesting with this, and this actually works well for me, is your brain secretes the hormone dopamine every time you check something off of a task list or your to-do list. And this corresponds with pleasure, learning, and motivation. So this is what really makes you feel good about yourself when you do something you intended to do. And because we're all dopamine chasers, we'll be driven to do the same task over and over again until success begets success. So I'm actually obsessed with this. I like use my to-do list, my task list a little bit too much. And I love crossing things off so much that I'll actually add it onto my task list if I've already done it and then cross it off just so I can have that satisfaction of crossing it off. And I'll put like silly things or easy things on there. Like, you know, my gratitude list, which is already a habit, or something super easy that I'm used to doing, just so I have like a couple easy things to check off my list. And again, this would be something you'd want to use for your new habit you're trying to form, like put it on your to-do list or print out an already ready to go checklist, or even do something fun. I was going to do this. I know it's a little bit childish, but you can get like stickers to put on your to-do list that make you happy. I mean, this is probably more for my ladies out there, but I mean, yeah. Guys, if you like it too.
Guys, don't do stickers.
But there's a reason why this works well for kids, and it could work well for you too. So that's just something to think about. And you don't have to get yourself a huge reward, but you could also do something fun, like putting a dollar in a jar every time you work out. And then after a month of working out, you can go and buy something you want or a couple dollars. So again, have fun with it, but something like a checklist or a to-do list or stickers is a pretty good reward for you, actually.
Like, I remember working in production. I worked in film production for years, and I would have multiple pages, multiple notebook pages in a row of little boxes that I would have to check off of different things that I need to do before we shoot. And this is hundreds of things. And then they could be open items for days. And then all of a sudden everything starts coming together and you're just checking them off. And there's nothing more satisfying than that, especially when you have pages and pages of hundreds of things to do. So I know from experience that is definitely, at least from my anecdotal story, that's definitely a reward system that you should follow. All right. So number 7, set reasonable habitual guidelines. And this is something we talk about all the time, right? Because it's all about setting yourself up for success and not setting yourself up for failure, right? So if you have a goal that is, I wouldn't say unachievable, but very difficult, and you set that bar really high, then you're more than likely not going to reach it. And you're going to make it very difficult on yourself, especially at the very beginning. So say you don't read at all and you want to start reading. You just make sure that, oh, I'm going to read 15 minutes a day. That's it. It's not like, hey, I want to read a book a day, like some of these assholes talk about on YouTube or whatever. No, what is it? A book a week, you know? It's like, oh, I go through a book a week. You should see my library. No, I'm sorry. Like, you're just not, if you're reading it, yeah, you may be going through the material, but are you really processing the information? Are you reflecting on it and how it relates to you? All these different things, right?
Absolutely. No, I agree with you that also a YouTuber saying reading one book a week can be setting the bar way too high for so many people, yeah, myself included.
Yeah. So if your goal is like better time management, you should just commit to working on that project for just 10 minutes a day at first. And then you never know. You could just see yourself, oh, you work on 10 minutes. And before you know it, you worked on it for 2 hours. But just make sure that you just start off at 10. And so if you set that bar at a height that you can consistently clear, you'll be much more likely to succeed. And research has showed that as well. And you'll get that dopamine rush as well, like Amanda was talking about, and that'll keep your momentum going.
And I think that's a great reminder, because it's all about doing this habit pretty much daily. That's really the goal. So that's why you want to set the bar lower. I think in a couple of my habit books, some of it was so low as to floss one tooth a day for a couple weeks or a week or two. And eventually, like, you add on to that, and he probably did more some days. But the point was, he never missed a day because he set the bar so low. And I also heard, you know, someone who's really not good at setting up their fitness habit, the first thing they did was just put on shoes and lace them up, and that was it. And then they started adding 10-minute walks, then a 30-minute run, and then you can add more exercise in. So actually, if you find the habit's not sticking, that you might want to start a little bit lower. I mean, you have to find the right sweet spot for you, because I do think sometimes it could be too low for you, but again, it all depends. And sometimes a 30-minute workout, again, could be a little too high, and you want to start with 10 to 15 minutes a day.
I might be a little bit of an asshole here, but I'm going to go ahead and say that by just putting on your shoes is not enough, if that's what you want. I mean, at least like sit there and jog in place, you know, like putting on your shoes is you should probably set the bar a little higher than that, but that's just
it could
just
be
me.
Just walk around the block.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't care. Walk to the end of the hallway and back. It doesn't matter, but just don't put on your, like, oh, I've laced them up. Time to take them off.
The point is, if you feel yourself not hitting it consistently, you could be setting it a little too high.
So just to wrap up this point, when you're setting these reasonable goals, you're by definition straddling that all or nothing mentality. You're finding the gray area, and you're trying to find at least a little bit of leeway to dig yourself in, a little bit of a foothold, and then dig in another foothold, and then until you're finally climbing and you got some grip, right? And so it's kind of leads us into the next point, which is Amanda's going to talk about ways to get back on track, because it not only do you not want to jump in with both feet and be overwhelmed and end up setting yourself for failure, but you also want to find a way to get back on track if you do fail, which is our next point.
Right. So one of the ways in Atomic Habits that he emphasizes getting back on track is to really try not to miss 2 days in a row. So don't be hard on yourself. You miss one day, but to get back on track quickly, right? Don't let 2 days become 4 days, become 1 week. So really get back into that habit, get back into that routine. And like we said, reevaluate if it's a little bit too high for you. If you set a goal of working out 30 minutes a day and you're really not meeting that and you're not feeling good about yourself, take it down to 15. And some days when you have more time, you do 30 minutes, but on the days that you're, you know, kind of cramped for time, you do 10 minutes, you do 15 minutes. So that was Chris was saying, obviously ditching the all or nothing mentality is sticking to that low bar. And then on other days, you know, adding more. And once you're consistently hitting in more and more of that goal, you can kind of even set it a little higher. Now I want to get to 45 minutes of exercise a day, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really all our tips for creating awesome habits. We know you guys got this, and really it's the habits that will change your life and will really end up to being a beautiful, flourishing human. You already are, but these habits will really help change your life, and we really know you can do this. And I hope you take some great value away from today's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I took some value away just from doing the research for it. So
absolutely. And again, I'm obsessed with some of these habit books. They're probably some of my favorite books. So if you want to check out Atomic Habits, I actually listened to that one on Audible, fan of Audible. There's one by BJ Fogg, so you can look that up. And then Chris, you mentioned another habit book we'll link out in the show notes. Yes, for sure.
Scott Adams, How to Fail at Everything and Still Win Big.
Yes. So there's a couple books out there if you really want to dive deep into this stuff. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
Yep. See you.
Bye.